All right, good evening, everyone. Hope you had an enjoyable afternoon. A young lady is singing with the lights at the comfort she is experiencing as she meditates upon God. Though there is a lot of noise and chaos in the camp because they've just heard the announcement that the enemy is coming. Psalm 46 tonight. Stop. Take time to think upon God. Psalm 46. Stop. Take time to think upon God. We see this refrain in three verses here. This Selah, which means to stop, pause, and think about it. In verse 3, in verse 7, and in verse 11. You see the word Selah there. It means to stop, to pause in the music, and think about what has just been said. Let it sink in a little bit. Somebody said many of our churches today are an inch deep and a mile long. What does that mean? They don't go down into the text because most people can't stand that type of feeding. But if you have been to a church or a place where they actually go down into the text to feed you, and then you go to one of these marketed five and dime churches, I would say, you're going to come away hungry and you probably shouldn't stay there too long. Now, when we come to the house of God, you know who we came to meet with? Everybody else. Well, okay, that's true. That's part of it, but we've actually come to meet with God. And if there is any chaos going in your life, if there's any noise, you might need this song in the night. Psalm 46. Martin Luther's song was inspired out of this psalm. A mighty fortress is our God. This young lady found herself in a rock and a hard place, and she began to sing this song. It was written by the sons of Korah. This song upon Alma, that's some type of musical instrument, and it's believed that the context that a young lady is actually singing it. That would show probably the greatest weakness in the camp, apart from older people, would be a young lady. Young ladies at that time had been succumbed, if you will, to almost a part of the man's possession, and they didn't rise any higher than that. You might have an occasional Deborah that appeared when a man wouldn't step up, which actually is an embarrassment, by the way, supposedly, when men don't take the leadership that they should. So Deborah was raised up, and a few other times God has used that. That is not to lessen the man, but that's to encourage the man to step up and take the leadership. Here, a young lady is impressed to take the leadership, and she doesn't take the leadership in getting before the people and putting herself in a place, putting herself forward where she shouldn't be. She actually starts encouraging the camp by singing in the tent. And she begins to sing this song. And she influences the whole camp. Psalm 46. Look what's taking place. Verses 1 and 2. She starts off with the truth here. She begins to sing that the sons of Korah wrote, leading the people to sing. God is our refuge. That means a place of safety. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. That's immediate. Aren't you thankful that you have immediate access to the throne of God? What's it called? It's called prayer. And you're granted that privilege through Christ, which the Old Testament saints did not have. they had to go through other mediators. But there's only one true mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's our high priest forever, not just temporary. He's that way forever. And so she begins to sing this song called "The Enemy's Coming." We'll see who that is in just a minute. But because God is her place of safety, and not armies, and not monies, and not good connections, and not family ties, but God himself, she begins to praise the Lord in song of verse 2. Therefore will not we fear. And I want to tell you that if your place of safety is in things or situations or what you've accumulated, you're not going to have safety. You won't be safe. God is the place of safety. God himself is the place of safety. So verse 2, she's now taken this truth into her heart, and she begins to sing. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You're going to see three or four statements here of though. Now you can look at them. You can probably circle them in your Bible if you want to. I see here, if I was studying this text on my own and breaking down every word and digesting this, and I wasn't subjected to time restraints and I didn't answer my phone, you know, and I had time to actually dig down into the text, I would notice. You notice how I was giving you a pattern to be alone with God there? Good. Okay. Cam, I've always got something going on. It's your day to be picked on, by the way. When are you going to get that mower fixed? But anyway, as soon as I deliver it to you, right? Okay. You see, though, here, four times. These are what if it happens statements. How many of you like living on that? What if this happens? What if that happens? What about this? What about that? And spiritually, you know what we can say very kindly, graciously, because of who our God is? So what if it does happen? You know, I read some things about psychologists and what they say about how people generally respond to something. And they say about 95% of the things that we fear never take place. Only place they take place is in our mind. So folks, I don't want to live life on the next fearful thing that might take place. How about you? That's no way to live. But rather we want to go to God when there's chaos and noise and who knows what's coming next. That's what this young lady did. So a young lady singing or playing to the glory of God can affect the whole camp. Hey, we've known that for years. We go to camp and teenager comes back and the heart and the mind are tuned to God more succinctly than they have been in the past for whatever reason, maybe that separation of time. And they come back and they just want to serve God no matter what. That's called fire. That's called impassioned. And then we've made amends in our budget to support the young people to go. And I don't know of any other church that does that, by the way. I don't know of any other church that does that. So we, as a congregation, just decided years ago, this is important to us, and we want our young people to go to camp, and we want the whole body to pay for it. That's pretty good. Amen? I mean, that's a pretty good thing. So anyways, by the way, let's have an unofficial vote right now, will you? Right in the middle of this sermon. Because we've never done it this way before at Tabernacle Baptist. Isn't that great? Okay. Allen Church needs $600 to be a counselor at the Wilds. All in favor say aye, if you will, or raise your hand. And that passes. Great. Is Gregory here tonight? Laurie, have him give a check to the Wilds for $600 for Allen Church to serve this summer. Did you hear that, Gregory? Thumbs up. Way to go, man. Look how easy that is. Now, here's what happens. Anybody that Allen invests in this summer is our investment. And who knows where that's going to go over the years. Amen? Who knows where that'll go? So thank you for your gracious investment in our people, particularly young people. One young lady begins to sing and affects the whole camp. Now, I've heard about people who are so paralyzed by fear, they start getting imaginations and start running wild. And it can happen to any of us. I've seen people with panic attacks, physically shaking and falling on the ground, and you think some demon was on them or something. Or they're just afraid. I remember at a memorial service that we had out there at the cemetery, the guys got their guns out and everything else, you know, and all this going on. And a lady hadn't eaten any food, and it was hot out there. And guess who was the speaker? Pastor Long. And I thought to myself, Lord, please forgive me. This is going to be a short sermon today because we are frying out here. Can I get an amen? Okay, Craig, you know what I'm talking about. It's hot. We got to go. So in the midst of my 15-minute sermon, that's basically what I had planned. You know, all the pageantry and all this was going on. She fell down. Here's one of the soldiers, decorated soldiers. His wife falls down on the ground. And I didn't know what to do. And I just looked at her and discerned by the Lord that she was just afraid. And so I got down there on my knee, right in the middle of the sermon. I got down there on my knees and everybody was standing around. And I said, ma'am, never seen her before nor since. Ma'am, what's wrong? And she said, I forgot to eat something with my medicine. And now I'm shaking, nervous, and sick. So what was it? She was afraid. So I took my coat off, put it underneath her head, propped her head up a little bit, and she was sitting there, listen. She was sitting there. A person was sitting there giving her a little water, sipping water while we went on with the service. And I kept looking. You okay? Okay. You all right? Okay. And in about 10, 15 minutes, about the time I got preaching, she stood up. That's the closest thing I got to healing. Amen. Okay, there you go. And somebody gave her, we call it a pack of nabs. What do you call it here? You know, little peanut butter on the cracker, six of them in a package. What do you call that? Anybody? Just crackers. We call them nabs, a pack of nabs, right? Huh? Is it rut or root? Just forget it. I'm going to go ahead and preach. So anyways, fear. Fear has torment to it. And we're not being perfected in love. One of the basketball players said, my girlfriend's going here for Memorial Day and there's going to be other guys. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I just told him. I said, hey, listen. If that's what you're thinking, you're not secure. I said, that's torment. And so what you need to do is ask God to give you that peace in your heart. He's going to take care of you no matter what. This could happen, that could happen, and that's all true. But folks, even if these things that we fear do take place, we need to go right back to God. A pastor friend of mine is experiencing a emotional breakdown right now. He's going to resign from his church. A future for them is unknown. We won't give you any hints, but maybe he saw the handwriting on the wall. Panic, had a panic attack. Things like shortness of breath, dizzy, fuzzy, blurred reasoning, insecurity, danger of the unknown, and down to doubting his own salvation. It's a tough thing leading a church if you doubt your own salvation. Wouldn't you say? I think so. We were given a book when Laurie and I got married about trusting God by Dr. Berg. And one of the things that he mentioned in some of his teaching is this: be careful how you muse when you lose. And that means be careful of your thought processes if you lose in some way. Be careful of your thought processes. Muse means to meditate, sila. Positively, it's sila, meditate on what God has said, but negatively, it's called what? It's called worry. Verses 1 through 3, then again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, an immediate source to go to. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. That's the first one. Second one, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3, the third one, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We have all kind of upheavals going on here naturally, whether they be tornadoes, hurricanes. It's interesting that I prepared this message last Sunday night. What happened last Sunday night? What happened last Sunday night? Gary texted me and said, are you aware that there's tornado warnings? I said, yes. He said, I haven't decided whether or not I'm coming. And I said, well, I'm not. Sounds good to me. So we sent out the message, don't come. I was kidding with Jane Cup about we rarely cancel a service, and that night we canceled the service. Okay. One of the things that my son was coming back from his senior trip, and it was either Laurie go get my son or me go get my son. So who do you think went and got the son? You're right, I sent her out of there. I'm no way I'm going. No, I went to get my son, and I figured I'd be a lesser loss than she would be to the children, so we'll let her stay at home and be safe. But really, God himself is a place of safety. Amen? We've got to find our refuge, that place of safety in God himself. What was the threat that the sons of Korah were writing about? They were writing about the time in 2 Kings 17 and 18 where the evil king Sennacherib with 185,000 soldiers were about to take over Jerusalem. She was afraid, and so she began to sing. That's a good thing to do, I think, if we were afraid. Start singing the truth. It'll transform you. Truth can transform you through song. That's why music is so powerful. It helps you remember things, sometimes not so good of things, right? But it helps you remember good things, too. And that's the way you should use it. Does anybody have going on in their life right now one of those, though this could happen, moments? Well, they rise up. They're meant to cripple you through Satan, but they're meant for you to run to God in salvation. Though I just got an announcement that I got cancer, some in our congregation have had that announcement. Though I lost all my finances in a lawsuit. Though my spouse just walked out on me. Though a dear friend just betrayed me. Though lies were told against my character. Though I was passed up at the job by a person who hadn't been there that long. Though my child wants nothing to do with me. Though our retirement savings were just stolen. Though our house burnt to the ground. Though all my family has died and I'm the only one left alive. That's going on in our congregation. This congregation. So where are we going to run? Where are we going to go? When Jesus asked Peter, in the midst of other people turning their back on Jesus and walking away, Jesus said, Peter, what are you going to do? And that's always a question. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? And the choice is, I'd rather go to God in chaos, not away from God. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Though this or though that could happen, I'm going to go back. I'm going to run to God. So think about that for a while. Selah means think about that for a while. Verses 1 through 3. Meditate on the realization that God himself is your place of refuge, and he will strengthen you as you depend upon him. That's verse 1. And he's willing to do it immediately. That's what very present help means. He's willing to help you immediately overcome your fears. And we need this song again and again in our life, because the devil's always attacking our minds on what ifs in life. So for 15 seconds, I know we can hardly stand it, quietness. Meditate on God is my place of safety, and I can go to Him immediately. That's what I want you to meditate on. Would you close your eyes, please, for 15 seconds on that? God is my place of safety, and I can go to Him immediately. All right. Now, how many were concentrating on the truth or counting the 15 seconds, okay? Yes, I know. Gregory, did you walk in that 15 seconds? Well, you appeared suddenly. Very nice. Okay. Never know what's going to happen around here when you close your eyes, right? God is my place of safety, and He wants to help me immediately. That's the first meditation. Remember the situation. They're coming. 185,000 of them. Stanza 2 begins in verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. This is a statement of future grace, that God is not only our present immediate refuge, but one day He will be our permanent place of refuge. God is an eternal being and has an eternal place. This is referenced and spelled out in Revelation 21. Take your Bible and turn there. We'll come back to Psalm 46. From the very throne of God, cascading down 12 levels, becoming a flowing river, and on each side groves of trees bearing precious fruit and representing eternal life, whose leaves give perpetual health. This is the new city of our God that we will dwell in forever. God will dwell there forever as well. John describes it in Revelation 21, verse 1, and we'll stop at 7, I guess. Revelation 21, 1, the future's coming. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Those are the things that cause us to cry, by the way. For the former things are passed away, hallelujah. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So again, here the psalmist reminds us of the present refuge that we have, place of safety, and the permanent refuge that will be ours, which is God himself. We trust God invisibly now, but there will be a time when we see God physically in Christ. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Anybody ever get tired of getting tried? Getting tired of being tested? Tired of being solicited to sin? Well, one day it'll be over. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing that we will see him one day, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What gives us that joy? The realization that we will see Jesus face to face one day. This one's a very important statement by application. The antidote for a joyless period in our life is the magnification of the Lord and the minimization of ourselves. Let me read that again. The antidote for any joyless period in our life is the magnification of the Lord and the minimizing of ourselves. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in the next or the present storm, make much of God's greatness to sustain and empower you, and not so much on your own weaknesses. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not sure about that. That might be all true. But we can do exactly what God wants us to do in any situation if we'll take the strength of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, regardless of what anyone else chooses to do. You can do it with the Lord's help. That doesn't mean God always gets His will in that sense. Some things that people do, sometimes the things we do, are not God's will. But He will use those things in our life to conform us to Christ as well. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly. That means we have a clouded understanding of the works of God. We don't understand all that God's doing. But then one day we will see Him face to face and we will know Him as we are known. The best is yet to come. In verse 6 we see then, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. You see the chaos and turmoil. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. These 185,000 soldiers that the angel of the Lord came and some mysterious disease afflicted them, and they all died that night. And here's this little girl singing in the tent. And people hear, like one bird in the field, you can hear it when there's no other noise. And believe me, there was no other noise. You know what? Everybody was so scared, they were quieted in their tents. But one young lady began to sing, praise ye Almighty. And it began to affect everybody else. And our lives are that way too. She began to sing this song, Psalm 46. One day there is going to be peace on earth, but right now there's not. You see a contrast going on here. Here's the contrast. The nations were raising their voice and making a lot of noise, and they still are now. But one day God's going to raise His voice toward His enemies and destroy them, and giving us peace on earth and separation from sin. Look at verses 7 and 8. Sing about that coming victory. The Lord of hosts is with us. Boy, this girl's got some confidence, doesn't she? The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob. The Lord's with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, we're supposed to pause and think about that. Here's what we're supposed to think. Oh, I can understand, you know, by reading the Bible, He's the God of Abraham. What a guy. You know? Look at all the people He affected for good. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaac walked up there, you know, and just laid out on that altar. There's no argument going on, nothing like that. But then God says, He's the God of Jacob. And Jacob had to be seriously changed. So did Abraham and Isaac, by the way, but not to the degree that Jacob did. Jacob seemed like a lost cause. He tried to manipulate and move everything around for his own purposes. And you know what? God just kept playing the game with him. Okay, you move over here. I'm going to move over there. Boom, 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 boom. And eventually, Jacob just had to say, okay, God, here I am. If you don't help me, I'm sunk. I know my brother Esau's finally caught up with me when I took the blessing from him through manipulative senses. Now he's finally caught up with me, and he's going to kill me. There's nowhere else for me to run. You know what that's called? Repentance. And as soon as he repented, God gave him grace. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. Acknowledge our weakness and depend upon him. Meditate on that. He was Jacob, willing to be called the God of Jacob. He's not called that prince with God, Israel. No, he's called Jacob. So God is willing to be the God of one that doubts him, tries to deceive others, manipulates, maneuvers man, seeking to find in himself a place of safety in the world by moving all the chess pieces around to arrange his own safety. It'll never happen. That'll never happen. God's going to yank our self-reliance carpet right out of our feet so that we have him to depend upon, and then we'll be satisfied, which is what we really want all along, satisfaction in our soul. So we'll take another 15 seconds and meditate on that. He's the Lord of hosts. He's with us. He's the God of Jacob. He'd be willing to be my God too. Close your eyes if you would, please. The Lord of hosts is with us and willing to be our God. Meditate on that, please. Host means the angelic host, all the armies of heaven. He's their Lord, and he's ours too. So what are you doing when we're doing this pausing and thinking, Pastor Long? I'm just repeating a statement over and over in my mind, although we're limited by the time here. I'm just repeating that truth in my mind over and over and over and over again. Now, if you're alone and you got more time to do so, it'll strengthen you. God will immediately help me, and he's my strength. He's the only place of true safety. And we see that in the verse 7 that we're to meditate upon that. That's the second one. Then we see the third stanza begins in verse 8. And we'll read verse 9 as well. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. And that's when the 185,000 were slaughtered in one night. Verse 9, he maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. You know, if God wanted to, he could end all wars. Well, he is going to end all wars. Isn't it amazing that man blames God for death and war? Now, the American mentality is to fight so we can have freedoms, not just to go about killing people for the fun of it. That's brutality. We fight that we might be free to serve God. I don't know if you know, that second part needs to be added in there. Our freedoms really come from God. They are to be fought for, or they will be lost. Right now, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars before the return of Christ. They should increase. But God can end all wars. One day he will. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, Isaiah tells us. That'll happen one day. One day there'll be such a peaceful resolve in the hearts of men that they won't even want to fight. Right now we fight because we have to. One day we won't fight because we don't want to. And that's a glorious day coming. The very one who can end fighting amongst families, individuals, cultural groups, and nations is God himself. By the way, and nobody else. One day men will beat their swords into plowshares, as I mentioned already. And then this verse. This is probably the last verse here. Most of you know this. Excuse me, the second to the last verse, verse 10. Most of you know this. A part of it, at least. We're resting in that safety of God. This young lady is still singing. For the rest of us to have faith in God. So the chaos might be going on the outside, but it doesn't have to be going on the inside. There might be chaos on the outside, and there will be till Christ returns, but it doesn't have to be chaos on the inside. Because we just decided we're going to trust God in this storm. So she's encouraging us here. Verse 10, be still. Still yourself before God. Come before God and be still. Be still and know that I am God. That's experience. Those are experience words. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And that means all the earth. To be still here means to cease from strife. Stop fighting with individuals. Relax and be quieted in your soul. That's how you know you've given something over to God, by the way. When we quit trying to control everything and everyone in life, and we just leave it to the Almighty God. If we believe God is in control over all the noisy chaos in the world, then He can certainly handle our noisy chaoses. Think upon that for a while. What's it say here? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, he says to think upon that. The Lord of hosts, that angelic host, if he's over all of them, and he can send in one night 185,000 soldiers, enemy soldiers, put to death because they came against Jerusalem. We want to be careful about God's anointed. I'm glad America stands with Israel. Aren't you? And I'm glad that our president had the guts to have Jerusalem be the capital. Many presidents said, yes, they agreed with it, but none of them carried through with it. You know, head nodding doesn't do much, folks. We need biblical action. Think upon that for a while. There might be a lot of chaos going on in the world, but you can have peace inside if you realize God is your place of refuge. And by the way, that's going to be tested. I'm not giving you any pie in the sky message tonight. You will be tested. You will be tested to have God alone as your place of safety. You will be tested. And God will help you pass to His honor and glory and praise. He will strengthen you. He will help you. Yea, He will uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. He will do it. It happens to preachers too. Let me read you this. William Carey, a missionary to India. William Carey. Listen to this story. After 20 years of translation work, you know what translation work is? You got the Hebrew and you got the Greek, and then you take those and you translate those into English, Japanese, German, Burmese, some other couple of languages I didn't even realize existed that he mentioned as I was reading this story. It took him 20 years and he had six or seven complete translations that had not yet gone to the printing. They wrote them out with their hands. Him and a group of men. 20 years, six or seven Bibles completely translated. And they had their buildings over here, and they were going to take these to press. That's how they did it in those days. They did it letter by letter. A little metal A, a little metal B. And they pressed the paper. No wonder it took so long, right? 20 years later, completed translations of five or six Bibles in different languages, a fire broke out in the camp and destroyed every one of those translations and buildings and presses in one night. No one was killed. Everyone escaped. Carey came back into the camp after they all ran for their lives. Couldn't put it out. Couldn't put the fire out, so they had to run. Tears were running down his face. His heart was broken in two as he looked through the charred remains of his work. As others were looking at him to see what he would say in a time like this, here's what he said. How unsearchable are the ways of God. He has laid me low. Burnt pages were blowing across the field. Smoking heaps were spread throughout the camp. The fire melted the individual printing letters, the metal printing letters. All the buildings and tools burnt. Twisted metal, piles of metal. He later wrote to a friend and said, "Oh, the providence of God is dark. We are in the unfamiliar here. The strange, the unknown, unexplainable workings of God. Why did God allow that? I don't know." But I do know that the Bible says it'll work for our good and for God's glory. That I do know. When the people gathered the next time to worship on the following Sunday, William Carey said God led him to preach from this text, Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." He only had 2 points for his message from this one verse. Point number one. It's God's right to do with us as He pleases, because we belong to Him. He can do whatever He wants to with us. Number two, it's our duty to surrender to His will. What was Job's triumph of faith? "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a man who got still before God. What are you going to do in a place is surrounded in chaos in the world, things going on? Though this happened, though that happened, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes. What's the world turned upside down? Our place of safety is God Himself, and we're to run to that place of safety. And we are to let God be God in our life. Just let God have His way with us. Martin Luther wrote this song after reading Psalm 46. It is in your hymnal. On hymn, it's hymn 81, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark, a Refuge." It means a refuge, a place of safety, and it never fails. Craig, why don't you come lead us tonight in this, will you? We'll give Josh a break here. What do you think about it, folks? Is God your place of safety and none else? I hope that He is. He will show Himself strong immediately. He will help us. Craig, good to see you.
Let's all stand and turn to hymn number 81. Hymn number 81. On the first.
A mighty fortress is our God.